You're listening to The Point. We're getting a sneak peek at some of the films coming to this year's Woods Hole Film Festival. Joining us is founder and director of the Woods Hole Film Festival, Judy Laster. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Also joining us is John Gamache, associate director of the festival. Welcome back to you.
Hi, thanks.
So, Judy, you must get hundreds of submissions every year. What are some of the things that you're looking for in the films that are selected for the festival?
Actually, this year we got probably close to 1,000 submissions. We really look for a variety of things. One, the first thing is a good film. The second thing we look at in creating the program is what will the totality of the program look like? What will the experience be for the festival goer? How can we be true to our mission, which is helping to provide a platform for emerging independent filmmakers?
Yeah. John, there are a number of film festivals in our region and nationwide for that matter. What do you think it is that sets the Woods Hole Film Festival apart?
One of the things I really like about it personally, just as somebody who likes to go to film festivals, is the fact that it's an opportunity for filmmakers and audiences to really just be in the same space for a week and have conversations and spend time and get to know each other, and for independent filmmakers to connect and just have a good time around independent film and be in Woods Hole, which is an amazing place to be in the summer with everything else that's going on. So it has, I think it's just a combination of a lot of little things that really make us what we are, and probably not something that could be duplicated really in any other place.
Yeah. And Judy, it's an experience that we were just talking before we started recording, that you're not going to really experience in a movie theater. You're not going to be able to see a lot of these films in a movie theater.
Not only will you not be able to see the films in a theater, but we have probably over 80% of the filmmakers coming from literally around the world to show their films here. And so for the audience and the filmmaker to be able to be in the same room, see the film, connect at that level, the energy that is created around that is something that you don't find in a just traditional theatrical setting.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some of the films in the lineup. We're going to start with House of Tomorrow. And this is a film that tells the story of R. Buckminster, Bucky Fuller, the designer of the geodesic dome. Perhaps not so coincidentally, one of the domes is just up the street from our studio here in Woods Hole. But this isn't a documentary about Fuller. Tell us a little bit more about the film.
So the film is actually not a documentary, as you point out. It's a feature film. It'll be coming out in theaters at some point. It was brought to us by people who are interested in helping to preserve the dome. And the film is a comedy. Nick Offerman is in it. We love Nick. And it's a film about sort of a coming-of-age story, two young guys trying to figure out sort of how to live their lives. And the dome that one of the people lives in happens to be an integral part of the story. So it's a wonderful way to close out the festival. That's showing August 5th, our closing night.
So yeah, we're going backwards, I guess.
We're going backwards.
There are many films in the documentary category, and we have a music documentary to discuss, Rumble. Let's hear a clip of the trailer before we talk about it.
There was a song came on the radio, a guitar instrumental, and it changed everything.
Link Ray, it's rock and roll.
Rumble. Yeah, that's the one.
Rumble.
Hey, Rumble.
Rumble had the power to help me say, I'm going to be a musician.
And then I found out that he was an Indian.
The music that we know here in the United States is fully supported by input from Native and indigenous people under the radar.
Viewers will probably be surprised at how much Native American musicians contributed to many different genres of American music. This is a surprise.
It's a surprise probably to the Native American community as well. And this documentary really goes through it runs the gamut and shows the amazing contribution that Native Americans made to rock and roll.
Have you seen this film, John?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about it?
It's one of those films where you think you kind of know, not that I know everything there is to know, but you think you know a lot about the roots of American music, and it just kind of blows the lid off that. It was really, I thought, an amazing story, and one I think it's really important for anybody who loves music at all, but even just, you know, the fact that we're in the middle too of a, you know, the Wampanoag community here too, and there's music coming out of there that's going to be at the festival as well. It's just, it's a great way to tie in a lot of things that are happening at the festival this year.
Another documentary is titled Deej. This is a story of a young man with autism. Let's hear the trailer for that.
My senses always fall in love. They spin, swoon. They lose themselves in one another's arms. Your senses live alone like bachelors, like bitter, slanted rhymes whose marriage is a sham.
Most people still perceive of kids with autism as bad.
Until I learned to read and write, people thought I had no mind.
People just don't understand, I guess.
Trust that they can learn.
Reading and writing are rarely taught to non-speaking autistics.
So here's what a dorm room would look like.
I plan to go to college. The world outside greets me either as a hopeful exception or as a real burden to society.
How should I fold up fear and go to college individually?
You're just going to grow into it.
But only you can do it, Deej. Nobody can do it for you.
Being included is every kid's right. It shouldn't be a lottery.
This sounds like an amazing film.
Amazing. It makes the hair on my arm stand up every time I watch it. This will be the world premiere of this film. Deej is a producer of this film.
Right. Yeah, have a quote from him. I won the lottery when my parents adopted me from foster care. I won it again when they included me in regular education. Now I seek to help kids much less fortunate than I by showing people what a non-speaking student with autism can do. And they can do a lot.
They can do anything that they're provided the opportunity to do.
I think this is an important film, too. I haven't seen it, but I think it's important because for folks who don't have experience with autism, it's really hard to understand. And it gives us a sort of a look inside Deej's mind, I would think, as to what he's experiencing, and maybe helps us be a little more understanding about the other kids out there with autism.
I think that was part of the reason that he wanted to have this film made. I think the other reason is that, you know, as you point out, I think right now we're sort of in the process of breaking down all sorts of barriers to understanding about a lot of different kinds of lives that people lead. And these stories are important. This is the third year in a row that we're going to have a major feature film in the festival about or by somebody with autism.
Yeah. I was saying that this was filmed over a 6-year period. I want to see this one. And this one sounds really interesting to me. In the drama genre, you have Can Hitler Happen Here? The title might be a little misleading. It's not a film about our current political or social state and the prospect of fascism. But instead, elderly Miriam lives alone in her Upper East Side townhouse, convinced that the world is out to get her. Let's hear a clip.
Somebody somewhere decided that if you like to be alone, you must be crazy.
I have received many complaints about Miriam Cohen.
She doesn't maintain her house properly.
There must be a way to get her out of that house.
I'm being harassed by my neighbor.
You need to come with us to the nearest hospital.
I am perfectly well.
I think you're not.
Who are you, God?
I told you that this was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. You can't live the way that you do.
I can live any way I want in my own house. I'm not hurting anyone.
What listeners can't see is that it's shot in black and white. So tell us more about this film.
It's a luscious looking film. It is shot in black and white. It's a really interesting story. It's a drama, very dramatic. The female lead, the actress, is actually has a Cape Cod relationship. Laura Esterman.
Yep. Married to Eric, who runs the Cape Cinema.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And it's just a very different film. It's sort of as much a play mm-hmm. as it is a film.
Mm. Which Miriam's an artist and heir to a large fortune who lives in like a squatter in her giant old home, and it's the neighbors are not happy.
The neighbors are not happy. Her son is not happy. It's a film about, you know, people. She's convinced that they just want her money. And it's sort of like a Grey Gardens kind of story.
Oh, interesting. A film that might appeal to teens and adults alike is Mars Generation. It explores the potential for today's teenagers to go to Mars in 20 years and is shot mostly at space camp in Huntsville, Alabama. Here we have a clip of that.
When we look at the night sky, we say to ourselves, are there any planets out there that are possible homes for humanity?
Space camp opened the path for me to do things that I really want to do.
Kids today have that same drive, that same passion that I had watching the first American launch into space.
High fives all around.
High fives all around.
We've gotten to the moon, but it's a stepping stone to the red planet.
It would be so amazing to see the Martian surface with my own eyes.
Having a man or woman walk on Mars is just the most badass thought in my mind. It's been over 50 years since we've done something significant like this.
We don't really go to space anymore. People are losing touch with their human spirit.
We have an entire generation who want to go to Mars, but all of that will fall on fallow soil if there isn't some big mission where they can apply this enthusiasm.
Some people think it's fine to just stay on Earth forever, and some people don't.
Let's go out there and make discoveries. Let's change the world.
Somebody from my generation will put their footprint in the Martian soil.
I can't think of a better thing to be defined by.
It's our duty to breathe fire into the imagination of these young people because our true place is among the stars.
This is kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. We're about the same age, and we were kids. Remember, landing on the moon was like, we were like, how? That was like science fiction. And now to think that these kids probably will go into space and land on Mars. That's just unbelievable, isn't it?
It really is. And not only will they do it, they will do it with conviction. They'll do it with the idea that exploration is absolutely a necessity for this world and for others. And they will do it in a way that we can't really anticipate.
Right. And the director, Michael Barnett, originally thought this would just be a web series. But after visiting the camp and meeting the teens, he realized there was more to say about the future of space exploration. That's kind of exciting.
I really love this film. And it's kind of like a really good animated film on one level. It's kind of designed for the younger generation, but on another level, it's really something that I think that like our generation will really get excited about, growing up with things like Carl Sagan and and then the reboot with Neil deGrasse Tyson and everything. So it really appeals to the kind of the kid in all of us in terms of the science nerd that I am and a lot of people are these days. But it was a fascinating film, and it just really inspired a lot of thought and imagination.
Okay. And speaking of inspiration, you are going to have Sonny Williams come to give a talk after the Mars Generation screening, and of course, astronauts. And if you haven't heard Sonny speak, what amazes me about her, she's very inspiring, but she tailors her talk. I've seen her talk to like little kids, college kids, adults. She is a wonderful speaker.
She's a wonderful speaker. She is emblematic of everything that you think an astronaut would be. She's a hero on so many levels, but she's down to earth. Mm-hmm. And we were very thrilled that she was willing and interested to come here. And I think it's an opportunity not to be missed.
Not to be missed. And people may remember when she was up at the International Space Station, she ran the Falmouth Road Race up there in space.
And I think the Boston Marathon. And yeah, she also transmitted to the Woods Hole Film Festival at that time. Right. NASA is one of our favorite federal agencies.
Yeah, I was going to say, we talked to her when she was up there as well, here on the point. City of Joy is a documentary set in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which has been referred to as one of the worst places to be a woman. But this film tells the story of giving women who have suffered from rape and abuse an opportunity not just to heal, but to lead their country in a different direction. So what can you tell us about this film?
We always like to say one of the hallmarks of the Woods Hole Film Festival is bringing the world to our doorstep, one film at a time. This film really is emblematic of that. The story in this film, City of Joy, is a place that was created for women who are survivors of, you know, rape and abuse, sexual violence, through what's been happening, unfortunately, in the Democratic Republic of Congo for years. But it's a very hopeful story. And it's a place where women can go to learn how to live beyond and have a life beyond what they experienced during war.
So obviously, there's a lot of films here. You haven't seen them all. What are some of the other ones that we featured some here? What are some of the ones that you're really looking forward to? Judy, you first.
So everybody asks us all the time, like, what our favorite films are. And of course, we can't really say anything about that. What I will say is we have a variety of different options, depending on what you like. We have 52 feature films. Half of those are documentary films. Half of those are narrative features. And we have about 85 short films. So
Short films are fun.
Short films are wonderful. And, you know, we have about 80 or 90 filmmakers coming here. A lot of those are the people who made the short films. Two people who stand out as short filmmakers, and I think John can talk a little bit more about this. One of them, Karen Allen. You might remember her from
the actress?
The actress, Raiders of the Lost Ark,
oh, wow.
Animal House. She's made a film that she's bringing here. It's her first short film. And then Susanna Styron, who lives on the Vineyard. Her father is the author, William Styron. She is a filmmaker who's made a variety of things, but she's coming here with a short film as well. I don't want to leave out the fact that we have tons of special guests who are coming. Josh Seftel is our filmmaker in residence, and he's going to be showing a few films that he's made. But he also is a guy who works not only in feature film, documentary film, but web as well. So I know I have avoided your question.
Very brilliantly, I might add.
Was it my turn to avoid the question now, too? I think I avoided it last year, and I don't know if I can this year. I think one of the things this year is that we've had so many people now involved with the festival or new who have been to a lot of other festivals, and we're constantly getting feedback from, oh, I saw this at Mountain Film, I saw this at other festivals, and just people are kind of blown away by the program at this point. So I don't get to see a lot of the films in
you're
advance
because
I'm one of those few people who doesn't get to see a lot of the films, but I just know based on the enthusiasm of the people who've screened the films for us and the people who have seen the films at other festivals and the ones that we have seen that it is impossible to pick.
Yeah. And I wasn't saying pick a favorite. I was wondering what you person might be looking forward to, but
I would love to see Charged.
Mm-hmm.
The Eduardo Garcia story. I'm looking forward to Diani and Divine Meet the Apocalypse. That looks like a total
Everyone
blast.
Needs a good apocalypse comedy.
Sure.
And then on top of Rumble, I mean, we have two other amazing music documentaries about Paul Butterfield and Joe Cocker.
Oh, so those great. Are, yeah. So we mentioned a lot of films, and I said you can't possibly have seen them all. So who's screening? You have people who like a committee? How does that work?
We have a screening committee of people who literally are all over the country. So we get screeners submitted to us almost year-round. We have probably about 15 people who watch them all. They rate them all, and then we sort of look at the overall options and put together the final program. Mm-hmm. But we go to other festivals. Other people we work with go to other festivals. It's kind of like sculpture, mm-hmm. and it's an art, not a science.
I was going to say, and when the festival's over, you're already starting. You're still working.
We're working
on next year's.
Well, not only next year's, but we're really working more to become a year-round part of the community. So we have two screening series throughout the year. So we're already starting to program Film Falmouth and Dinner and a Movie. Plus, we do the Best of the Fest screening at Kituit Center for the Arts, and we do films with Wellfleet Preservation Hall.
All right. This year's Woods Hole Film Festival runs July 29th through August 5th. We'll have a link to the full lineup of films, including the ones we discussed today, at our website, capeandislands.org. Woods Hole Film Festival Director Judy Laster and Associate Director John Gamache, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Wendy.
Each year, the Woods Hole Film Festival hires interns to help organize the event. This year, college students Casey Robideau and Hannah Garfield brought their talents to the intern tasks, large and small. They stopped by to record their thoughts on the last 2 months of film festival preparations.
What does it take to make a film festival? Well, for starters, a lot of manila envelopes, Sharpies, and quarters.
We are Casey and Hannah, the Woods Hole Film Festival interns, and we are here to share our backstage story of how a film festival is run.
Film festivals are not all about movies, despite what the name may imply.
They're about 50% filmmakers and 50% spreadsheets.
That wasn't what I had in mind. Film festivals are about recognizing the hard work that goes into being an independent filmmaker. It's about exposing the general public to films that they would otherwise never get a chance to see. It's about the village that it takes to put on a festival. And you watch a lot of movies.
You watch a ton of movies. Seriously, like so many. It's good for helping people decide which films they'll like, but it makes us look like total losers. Which movie was my favorite? All of them. I had time to watch literally all of them.
But our job as festival interns wasn't all watching movies, puppies, and rainbows. We do a lot of other stuff, too.
We were also in charge of logging the media that was sent in for the festival, answering festival questions from attendees, and the crown jewel of all intern tasks, folding t-shirts.
I'm still awful at folding. But I did learn the valuable lesson of reading the addresses on packages before opening them.
Okay, called out. Read labels before you open things, folks. While we're on the subject, you maybe want to double-check that you're taking borrowed items back to the correct source. This has been Casey on hashtag intern mistakes.
The Woodtoe Film Festival is a special one, not just because it's one of the oldest film festivals in the country, but because of the village of Woodtoe itself. Woodtoe is a weird place. If you haven't experienced the 4th of July parade, you're missing out. But it is truly a magical place to have a festival.
Yeah, there's this delightful and confusing old town feel that happens when the box office is in an old fire station and three of the films take place in outer space.
Casey thinks Woodtoe is a Scooby-Doo town.
Okay, but think about it. When you're not here on the 4th of July, it's a little quieter, and there's a bunch of quaint seafood restaurants, and then all of a sudden there are all these science labs. It's a perfect whodunit location.
The whole village really gets involved the week of the festival. Pretty much every restaurant in town is hosting at least one after party, and almost every business has a poster hanging up advertising for the festival. Everyone is super friendly when we make our daily rounds, dropping off flyers and asking people to hang up posters.
Ah, yes, the daily intern journey. Speaking of which, shouldn't we go to the post office soon?
Oh, yeah. We're a little late doing that. Every day we go to the post office, hoping the filmmakers have sent us tribute in the form of files of their movies, posters, postcards, buttons, t-shirts, and their firstborn children. It's not just the village that makes Woodtoe a great place to have a film festival. It's the community in general. In a town full of scientific geniuses and discoveries, a surprising amount of people are really interested in seeing some cool independent films. They come in droves to see the films, and almost every day we get visitors who want the inside scoop on what films we think are best.
That's the part I'm still not used to, but in a good way. I go to film school in California, where everyone is movie-obsessed, but I grew up in a small town in Massachusetts where I was the only film kid. No exaggeration. I was president of the film club because I was the only member. Having regular non-film students actually care about independent films and want to see them is sort of amazing. Not only that, but there are a lot of documentaries this year that the scientific community in Woodtoe actually seem to be really proud of, which is wild. I've never had smart people think that the things I do are important.
I'm a Woodtoe summer kid. I've been here every summer since I was born, and when other kids were doing science school, I thought it sounded like the most boring thing to ever do. I didn't have many friends down here and always felt disconnected from Woodtoe despite living a mile down the road 2 months out of the year. Knowing what the best things to order on every restaurant menu in town, and having made the harrowing journey through the Woodtoe Channel on many occasions. Getting this internship with the festival didn't just mean I got to spend one more summer in Cape Cod. It meant I finally got to know Woodtoe on a level that I never had before.
I feel the same way. Getting to be a part of a film community in Massachusetts was something I never thought I'd get to do, and it is definitely one of the best parts of this internship. What's been your favorite part so far, Hannah?
Since Casey didn't show up until a month after me, I got to schedule all the short films. In my first week of the internship, I was tasked with watching every single accepted short film and organizing them into 8 shorts programs and figuring out which ones would work showing in front of a feature. Then when it was decided to add a 9th shorts program, I got to decide which films got accepted. Besides getting to spend 7 hours a day with me, what's your favorite part, Casey?
Always love time spent with the party animal. Honestly, I think the best part is just being behind the scenes. It's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of reward. We've had a few occasions where the filmmaker will come to the office themselves to deliver us media, and we just end up listening to them talk about their process and getting to know more and more about what it takes to make a film. That's what's really cool to me, that all these directors, writers, and editors aren't just names in the credits anymore. They're becoming people that I know. And they're all really, really cool.
So I guess that's it. Being a Woodtoe Film Festival intern is a lot of work. From keeping a log of all the media we received, putting together badges, to cutting out audience ballots, we've done a lot in less than 2 months of work.
Just yesterday, Hannah got a box down from a tall shelf. Heroic.
At least I'm tall enough to reach the shelf.
Ooh, nice burn.
At times, it feels like the festival can't come fast enough, and at other times, it's coming way too fast. In less than 2 weeks, I will be a sleep-deprived zombie who may kill Casey. But I can't wait to see everything we've done come together to create a fantastic 8 days showing off an array of unique independent films.
Yeah, it's going to be a ride, that's for sure. Big thanks to Judy and John, who have raised us baby interns from acorns to saplings. If you think that our job seems at all hard, just imagine what they do is 1,000 times more difficult. And they somehow find the time to make sure we are having a good quality internship. 3 cheers for our office parents.
This has been Hannah
and Casey, and we're the Woods Hole Film Festival 2017 interns.
You can find Hannah Garfield and Casey Robideau helping out at the Woods Hole Film Festival on Water Street. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.